listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Tuesday. We're back again. We're back. Nothing but great things to talk about. Well, maybe not so great for some people, but great things to talk about today. I tell you, you know, it's been one heck of a week. Well, today is only Tuesday. I'll say one heck of a last week. And, you know, we talked about people that are regular people going through some of the same crazy things that people go through on a daily basis. Guys, I was supposed to have a young lady on today. The story was a little overwhelming for me to talk about. You know, I don't know so much for her. She was real, she's really emotional about this particular subject. There used to be a company, well, not a company, but a magazine company in New Jersey called Black Hair or something to that effect. And this young lady, she is, you guys could probably hear me shuffling through papers. I was actually looking for my notes from her, just so I don't get anything misconstrued or anything wrong. But she told me a little bit about some disturbing things that happened to her in the hands of a man that she felt as though was preying on her. To some effect, you know, this guy, he would solicit models and, you know, make them think that they were going to be America's next top model. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Bill Cosby story a little bit, but, you know, Bill Cosby had real money and he had real players. This young lady named quite a few people that were a part of this alleged human trafficking. And she says that she was also one of the victims. Now, this is really serious, guys. And I didn't want to get her on the show because I felt as though I need to be sure about some things. And I actually called a radio host that is on one of the major stations just to find out from him if, you know, he knew the story, if he ever heard of this before, you know, situation that could have taken place. And he basically told me, absolutely. He said, I remember, I didn't partake in anything. But usually when you know of a crime, you have knowledge of a crime, you are therefore just as guilty as the perpetrator. So, you know, I'm kind of baffled at how lady wanted to actually come out and go public with it. I think I told her, I think she needs to exercise seeking an attorney because these allegations were very, very strong. And then having a conversation with a colleague of mine, it was told, you know, maybe her life at that point could be in danger because not only is it just the guy who was soliciting women, you know, and this guy that owned Black Hair magazine out of New Jersey, he actually, he's an older gentleman now. I think he's, you know, one nail away from the coffin type of thing. But you're never too old to go away. Ask Bill Cosby. You know, if they're looking for you and they want to nail you to the cross, you will get nailed to the cross. If anybody can go back to that footage of Bill Cosby, they would clearly see that you're never too old to get nailed to the cross for any type of, you know, sexual predator behavior. And this young lady, she was so emotional when she told me this story that I didn't think it was a good idea to put her on today. It was still a little overwhelming for her to talk about it, but she was very confident in her story. And, you know, by me checking out some things and confirming that this is something that took place, but it was a little bit more disturbing because She told me this guy would go around to different adult entertainment places, you know, like go-go spots, go-go places, whatever they are. And he would promise these girls a slot in his magazine, and he would promise them stardom. And, you know, we're going back maybe 20 years ago. So back then, women, little girls, mothers, grandmothers, all wanted to see their daughters in pageants, beauty pageants, and, you know, modeling, and who's going to be famous and make a lot of money as a model. Because everyone says, you know, my kid has what it takes. Everyone is confident of their children, and that's a good thing. But these women were victims of circumstance, because this young lady said to me, and I really don't like to say what people say. I like it to come from them, because, you know, you guys get to hear it from the horse's mouth. And don't worry, I will have this young lady on. It's just not at this particular time. But I wanted to give you guys a heads up about this particular incident. And what was more damaging to me, she's currently on the job, by the way, guys. She makes allegations of this officer being a part of the human trafficking scandal. You know, that's deep, because like I said, everyone that wears that uniform, they don't deserve to have it on, nor do they deserve to have a badge or the level of respect that they're supposed to earn as, you know, someone of law enforcement. But it happens, guys. It happens all the time. You hear about these stories all day, every day. It's nothing new to you guys. But this particular story is kind of weird, because this guy who owned Black Hair, a very prominent guy, you know, she says, well, I used to work at an adult entertainment facility by the name of Cinderella's in Elizabeth. And she made some really, really strong allegations about the police officer, the Newark police officer, who actually escorted these women and took them to other locations and actually locked them in with a group of high-end men that used to fly in from all over the world. So this was a very crazy story for me to even hear, because I'm saying to myself, you know, isn't this officer afraid of being, you know, put to the forefront? Even though people have a past, and sometimes they don't think that the past can come back to haunt them, but it always lingers behind. And then you sit back and you say, well, I guess he didn't know that this woman would ever surface. And who knows, maybe if she does expose herself, maybe he would try to retaliate, because, you know, who knows? He has a lot on the line, his pension, the remainder of his career. This all could blow up in smoke. And by the way, the old guy with the, you know, Black Hair magazine company, he actually is one leg in, one leg out of the coffin. So justice will never get served for all of those women that they took advantage of. You know, this young lady wanted to expose them to the level of mentioning their names, which I told her on this particular show, we try to keep everybody's names, you know, a secret, because you can't really throw people under the bus unless you have some solid, hardcore proof. As you guys know, when I got solid, hardcore proof, listen, I'll be the first one to expose a name, because it's public information. The media got to it before I did. And I'm just sharing news and sipping tea like all the rest of my listeners. And I really appreciate you guys for coming on and listening every Tuesday, because this is a lot to be informed about. You know, I could tell you guys, it's a lot of young girls that are a part of human trafficking right now. And Atlanta, Georgia is one state that a lot of this stuff is going on in. And law enforcement there, for some reason, is not being efficient. You know, they're waiting for the feds to step in and do their part. But of course, regular law enforcement has to do their part as well. And we as people have to see something and say something, because that could be your daughter, your sister, your cousin, you know, your aunt, who knows, you know, that just because they're older doesn't make them exempt from human trafficking. You know, it makes them more vulnerable, because it seems like the older we get, the more vulnerable we get to believing a story, you know, like, excuse me, I'm lost. You're like, okay, it's right over. Before you start the point, someone's dousing you with something to drug you up and haul you away. So just because you're older doesn't make you smarter either. But, you know, I wanted to say that that was a little tip of the iceberg for me, guys, to hear about the story. And this young lady wanted to actually come out with a book. And she wanted to expose these people that damaged her. She said she's damaged from all of the sexual torture that she went through. And, you know, using drugs was something that she had to do to get past, you know, being in compromising situations with the offender. So these are things that has happened. And unfortunately for her, she can't turn the hands of time back. And she's first in her lifelong journey of living and looking for a positive type of relationship that she may never find, because these things haunt you later on in life. You know, 20 years ago, people weren't so conscientious about protective sex. So you got to think about these women and these guys not having protective sex. And, you know, she could be a person of circumstance that could be HIV positive. You know, anything can happen in that industry. You know, you're encountering a lot of different people and you don't know their health record. So it's very dangerous to be in that type of position. So protect your kids. And, you know, people stay aware of certain things, especially the modeling gigs that's out here. We can make your kid famous. We can make you famous. You know, a lot of people nowadays, they're doing things for money because times are rough. So they're figuring that, you know, let's try to make ends meet and let's try to get some extra cash to pay the bills here. Which is understandable, but when it comes to the sacrificing part of, you know, your body, you have to be really careful. You know, I have a book that will probably be out by the end of the summer. I can't release the name as of yet, but I cut a deal with the publishing company to donate condoms to the Dominican Republic. Because I know what goes on there. There's a place called Sosua. It's a working town. Working town meaning there's girls that work there. They sell their bodies for $10.20 wanted is how you get it. A lot of American citizens go there to solicit with these young ladies. And at one time, it was not prohibited to sleep with a girl below the age of 18 in Sosua. And then they realized that the tourism became great because a lot of weirdos were coming there because now they can't be held accountable or charged with rape on young girls and young boys. Because it's not just young girls that are there, it's also young boys. So I cut a deal with the publisher to donate one box of condoms per book that is sold. So that way these people can make better choices when it comes to their health, because they will sleep with you. Condoms in the Dominican Republic are very expensive. So they would rather feed their families than stay protected. You know, they go in very trusting. The healthcare is very poor. You know, it's greater in healthcare due to COVID as far as a COVID shop being set up saying you need to be tested, because all of those dollars eventually touch back to America some way, somehow. So it's not really good healthcare going on over there. It's all for a financial purpose for the government. And, you know, unfortunately, this is the world we live in today. And there's some areas that don't even have clean drinking water. but there's a COVID clinic to get tested for COVID. So I don't know, that doesn't add up to me. How about you guys? I didn't think so. But, you know, guys, back to this sexual human trafficking situation. This young lady shared a lot of information about another location that was closed down. It was closed down now. It's called Perfections. They were located in Queens, New York. They got shut down due to the amount of violence that was happening there. And speaking of violence, this young lady shared with me that, and I was trying to get the gist of it, because she shared with me that the officer, the Newark police officer, actually was disciplining these women, and he smacked them with an open hand, like across their face, so hard that she felt the room shake. And, you know, without any exaggeration, like maybe it's exaggerating a little bit, but she shared with me of some of the things that went on back then. And she's been holding these photos because she says, this is my evidence against this Newark police officer that was, you know, doing security for the Black Hair magazine, you know, founder, you know, and I won't say his name, even though I know his name, but this guy has hell to pay. I mean, he's damaged a lot of women. And now the officer or officers, we won't just single that guy out, but they all have to pay for damaging these women. And for some reason, I think it may have been a control thing. You know, these people like to be in control, especially the ones that, you know, my family don't have boots, okay? But there's a line of respect in every profession of law enforcement. And unfortunately, in that line, the blue suits, everybody has a way of, you know, of going forward, you know. It's just a very sad thing for this to happen, you know. And I sit back and I say, what were these women thinking when they actually, you know, went from location to location? And then I'm thinking, he's a Newark cop, so he didn't have his uniform on, guarantee you that. So how did they know he was a Newark police officer unless someone told? Like, hey, this guy is a cop. So, you know, and we verified it. He is a Newark police officer that is still on the job, that has some tormenting issues behind his own life. You know, very sad. But hopefully justice will be served on some level, some extent, because at the end of the day, you put your hands and trust into people that you believe is going to protect you, and then they don't protect you. They end up doing things off the books because usually, you know, the guys in blue, they start at $40,000 a year. That's no real money. They have to make this a lifelong goal for them to get that six-figure salary to say, I actually can live now. But we're talking 20 years later. Not 20 years later he committed the act. 20 years later to say, I can afford to buy me a new car and I'm not struggling. You know, so there's no perks with this particular type of situation, you know. There was an incident, guys, that happened to me over the weekend. I'll tell you, you just can't make this stuff up. It went from one incident to the other incident. I went out Thursday night to a girlfriend's a party, not really a party. It was a dinner party. And I peek over my shoulder and I'm with my husband and I'm with my girlfriend who's having the dinner party. And she says, isn't that your ex-husband, the crazy Newark cop? You know, your ex-husband, isn't that him? Is that him? You know, she says, he's peeking at you. And I couldn't believe that he would actually have the audacity, after he took my shoes and I had to run for miles with no shoes on, I couldn't believe that he had the audacity to be peeking at me. And my current husband says, what do we do? And I said, we do nothing. We sit here and we wait for him to leave. Because the last thing I want for us to get into is us to get into an altercation with a crazy Newark cop, ex-cop, by the way, due to psychological difficulties. That's the last thing that we need to do, is get into a brawl with him or him have an excuse to gun us both down. We don't know the situation with that. So let's just stay at bay with this whole situation. And then eventually he left. And, you know, we left and we got home safely. And the craziest thing that just happened, I went to another friend's, you know, great birthday event this past Saturday. And the other psycho that I told you guys about, he pops in. He walks past my husband and I like he's walking the red carpet. And he goes into another area of the location and pretends that he's going to buy something. And then he walks back and pretends that he's talking to people. I really had to say, is he talking to himself or is he really talking to somebody? Because it was a little frightening, guys. Literally, after my husband parked the car, which I kind of felt that he was going to be there because I had saw a coworker of his at my girlfriend's event that past Thursday. And the craziest thing is, it's like he was outside sitting in his car, stalking, which is illegal, peeking and looking and waiting for my car to pull up. And at that point, I was very petrified because I said, this guy's not in his right mind. He literally looked like he rolled out of bed. Someone must have called and said, hey, she just walked in the door. She's on her way here. You better get here. He literally walked in behind my husband and I had to say to him, right shoulder. The stalker is behind your right shoulder. Because I didn't know what this stalker could have been up to. Mind you, he's a nutcase on the loose carrying a gun. You know, thank goodness my husband also is licensed to carry. Thank goodness. And I carry throughout the course of my work. But thank goodness, you know, I felt safe because I was unsure that, you know, this crazy person walks in like a bat out of hell. Like, I don't know if you guys ever saw a bat flying around and they're like, maybe not even a bat, a bird. You know, the bird sees a window pane and they think it's an opening to get through and they hit it and they fall out. He came through that door like a bird. I cannot. It would see that someone that you've already dismissed and said, have a good day, sir, want to stalk and follow you and want to know your every whereabouts. It's a little disturbing to me, you know? And I would pray for the next woman that this crazy current cop encounters. I hope that she can put a leash on her man and keep him at bay, because stalking someone that you really don't know, but you know, kind of, is very spooky to me. It's very scary because I've never had anyone always show up at the same place. You know, guys, same bat place, same bat time. It's like they're picking up the red phone and saying, you know, that girl, everyone, you know, and not even waiting for Robin. He's actually going in his car, leaving the Batcave, and he's headed to the destination. So this is what I am currently dealing with, which is spooky because due to, you know, police officers killing their wives and girlfriends and friends and women who they think are their girlfriends, it's a psychological issue that potentially could be harmful to me. And that's why I like to talk to you guys about these things, because I want you guys to know, from the East Coast to the West Coast, I'm a regular person here. And there's tribes of people out here that will huddle together and stick together against these type of perpetrators. But when you wear that blue uniform, okay, and you stick that badge on, matter of fact, you have the badge already sewn to your chest. So there's no more metal badges. You got a stitch badge on your chest that you're supposed to respect. And you're supposed to say, I live amongst a higher standard than to go out and stalk women. But I get it. If you can't find anyone else, what's left for you to do? Because if I was him, and of course, thank goodness I'm not, you know, I have a husband. He has some flunky, I would assume, because there's no decent woman in her right mind that's going to be okay with her man stalking another man and his wife. I've never, ever seen anything like this, ever. I can't even fathom to think, why would you want to be in the same place knowing that that person is going to be there, knowing that they're married to someone, and you choose to be in the same location because you want them to see you. And then what's crazy about it, the guy pretends to be a victim. So guys, when I tell you that this is a psychotic trail of behavior, it's a psychotic trail of behavior. And I tell you another thing, this person has people pulling out their cell phones, taking pictures, you know, and it's really weird because it's people that he knows, and I know that he knows them, and, you know, they're in the police stance taking a picture, you know, and making it so obvious, like, dude, you're not at the academy, you're in a store, you know, you're in IKEA right now. It's no need for you to flick through, you know, aisles trying to catch good photos. You know, I felt like a celebrity that day. And you know, it was very weird because I could have dialed 911 and said, I'm being followed by some creep taking my picture and my husband's picture. Had it not been for my husband noticing that this guy was snapping pictures in the police stance, I would have thought he was crazy. I would have said, there's no way. What man would be in a police stance taking pictures of you and I shopping in IKEA? It's impossible. But guys, I tell you, you can't make this stuff up. Let's take a break. I'll be right back.
Looking for a holistic approach to a healthy new lifestyle? Here, CMOS is the vitamin-rich solution you need with 92% of the nutrients our body needs. What does CMOS do? Promotes natural weight loss, helps build body muscle, builds a healthier immune system, helps allergies. Consuming CMOS when you're sick is a win, but consuming when you're healthy is a win-win. Visit AkirCMOS.com today and begin your journey to a healthier lifestyle.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price, but are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because G Buys Philly has got your back. You can sell house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping property owners just like yourself in all sorts of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. We will buy your home fast, easy, and convenient. No commission to realtors, no home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is, no repairs. 100% fair offer guaranteed. Sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? just contact us now at www.buysbilly.com. Remember, she buys Billy.
Hey guys, you know, I got in the middle of a phone call during our break. Little something for you guys. You know, I wasn't going to bring this young lady on just yet because it's a little emotional for her. But I think that, you know, just to add just a little clarity, and maybe we'll bring her back on next week and we will see, you know, what else she has to offer with the story she wants to tell. And I can't tell you guys that I'm very transparent when it comes to stuff like this. And a lot of people say that about me. I just want to ask her a few things so that way we can have a little clarity on, you know, some of the allegations, because I just want to clear the air, because it was a little disturbing to me on, you know, this whole police officer thing and, you know, the violence and the delivery of women, you know, of all ages. So that was a little disturbing to me. And to have someone actually go through that and be put in a, you know, that type of situation kind of makes you wonder, why didn't she call the police? You know, a lot of people, I've gotten some text messages in, guys, and everyone wants to know, well, if she was being trafficked, why didn't she call the police? And, you know, if she wasn't the one that was being human trafficked, and, or, you know, because I really don't know, I wasn't there. The only person that can tell you this story, just like the lady from, you know, Bill Cosby's trial, she said, he drugged me and all I could feel was my head bumping down every staircase, you know, every step on the staircase, you know? So it's a little weird when people actually, you know, want to tell their story. The producers can hear me. The caller's trying to call in so we can try to get a little clarity on some things that was said to me, because I don't like to put words in people's mouth about anything. I like them to be free and talk about, you know, whatever it is that they have to say and get off of their chest. But I just want to add some clarity in there, you know, about the different allegations. Caller is on the line. And hey, caller, how are you?
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Caller, I just wanted to ask you something, because I was getting a little bit of feedback from actually talking about this. And I know we can't get it all in today, so I would ask you to come back another time. But I just want to clear the air on some things. You know, when we had the discussion, you said that the gentleman that was a part of this human trafficking was a Newark, New Jersey police officer. And remind you, we can't mention the name. So just, I want you to answer that question.
Right. Okay, well, this guy, he's always, you know, he was really a big guy. And he was a bully too also. So, you know, I was at that time I was very young. I was very young. But, you know, I'm a little scared and a little nervous because I, like, you know, back then he was very aggressive and he did a lot of things to a lot of the girls. But, you know, I remember him picking us up at the airport at one time. I remember her taking us to the location. And then, you know, and then after they would, you know, tell us that these special guys were coming in, and there were all these executives and all these CEOs that would come into this room, our hotel room, and they will, you know, have parties and drugs and all type of everything was involved. So basically,
and let me ask you, how did you specifically know it was a Newark, New Jersey police officer?
Because he would talk and boast about his, you know, talk and just be like, you know, about him. And I'm around a lot.
So did he ever say, I'm a Newark police officer?
I've never heard him exactly say that, but the girls, that was a conversation about a lot of girls, because I think he was dating one of the girls. So, you know, I thought that, you know, they would talk to him. That's pillow talk, I guess you call it. And they were related to the rest of us.
So in the gentleman that he worked for, he owned a magazine company called Black Hair.
Yeah, he did. He was a big guy. He had many magazines. That wasn't just the only magazine he had. He had more than one.
So do you think that you were also a part of this human trafficking, or it was other women involved?
It was more other women, women from out of town.
You mentioned something about them actually, like, after the club closed, they would lock them in somehow.
They had a room, you know, a lot of the girls, they didn't have for the girls to stay. And they were staying in the building.
So they would, like, they could leave freely if they wanted to?
Some could, some couldn't. Some didn't want to, some did. So.
Okay, caller. I'll tell you what. We'll call you back next week, because we need to really get in depth with this story. I just wanted to tell you thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Thank you, and have a good night. Wow. Okay. So, because this is going to take a little bit of time to scour through. You know, like I said, guys, the caller had shared a lot with me previously. So I'd like to, like, do a number lined item to go down the line and, you know, narrow down every part of her story to see if, you know, how this makes sense, if and how it makes sense to, why aren't these people in jail right now? That, you know, I would like to really talk with her more in depth about, you know, the violence that took place, and more about the women that couldn't leave. Like, what was the difference between women that stay and the women that could go? Their favorite location, which she shared with me, was by the Newark Airport. That was where this Black Hair magazine did all of their shows, their hair shows, by the way, guys. So, you know, I don't know these people in particular, but just from the information that was given to me, it's kind of scary that, you know, all of these things are being done, criminal acts, mind you, are being done right under the nose of politicians. Law enforcement is a part of it. Okay, there's no secret. And like she said, pillow talk. If you're telling some, listen, the guy's saying, listen, I'm a cop. She's spending time with him. This is his so-called girl. You know, people are going to talk, you know, and I give you a prime example of that. You know, you can have, my mother-in-law once said to me, she said, keep your conversations low, because while they're up in the air, you don't know who's listening. So I took that as people are listening from the echo of my conversation. And guys, if you're sitting down and you're quiet and you're in a restaurant and people are talking, people next to you, you hear their conversation. Sometimes you may even laugh because you're like, that was funny. You know, so it is a true statement that your conversation is up in the air and you just never know who's listening. People are always listening. You know, I've trained my children over the years. When I'm on the telephone, they know to be very quiet because one, whoever's on that other line is listening to my background sounds, you know, and they're listening to that conversation. If they're gonna, they're gonna hear crickets. They're not gonna hear any other type of conversation in the background. I'm not gonna host one conversation with you and another one with my household members. That is not going to happen unless we have that type of relationship, then we can do that. But people are always gathering information, which can lead to very toxic situations amongst friends, because you could say something and then now this friend is upset and they take, well, not really upset. They take it back to the person that it was, that should have heard it, and they make it more than what it really is, you know, but it's supposed to be a joke. And it doesn't come out that way. And then the next thing you know, there's a problem. But, you know, it's very good to practice that at home with your family members. And you'd be surprised how much of your home business doesn't end up in someone else's pockets. They'll take it and put it in their pockets. And usually they'll say, you know, save it for the ears. No, they'll put it in their pockets and they got that information. They're saving it for a rainy day to use it as retaliation against you. So be very smart, people, when you're having conversations. You know, sometimes you may be in a place and you want to be loud. You want to talk. Sometimes you may be drinking. Alcohol takes over. And the next thing you know, your conversation is with like 15 other people that don't even know you, but they know your whole life story in 15 minutes. You know, these 15 people. An old trick they did in the academy is, and by the way, a lot of military forces use this during training. You know, they'll tell one guy what they want him to know. The other guy passes the story down, and they keep passing the story until they get to the end. By the time they got to the end, the guy at the end does not even know what the heck the story is really about. And I've learned this tactical skill from my own training of being on the job, of your conversation, how your conversation could be misconstrued if you're not careful. So guys, let's keep that in mind. And I'll give you that as a great tip for the day. But back to this Newark, New Jersey police officer with all the fashion shows, all the black hair magazines, all the hair fashion shows, hair shows, whatever they were doing. It was all done to perpetrate a criminal act. And unfortunately for the officer involved, because of course this young lady, she will retain an attorney because she said, you know, this person needs to go down. He needs to be exposed. The guy that had the hair magazine, you know, with the fashion shows, promising these young, beautiful girls, and, you know, maybe some not so beautiful, a day of stardom. And all they got was a spot in his magazine, and they were sold to the next highest bidder. It's something else strange this young lady had mentioned to me, which I'll bring this up when she comes back on the air, guys. She mentioned she was also a victim of this black hair magazine, hair show, fashion show guy, right? She said she was just the girl for the month. And then the next month, it was the next top model. So every month, he would change the women. She said it was just her turn. And then after her turn was up and they passed her down the line, now it was someone else's turn and they got passed down the line, all out of false pretense of getting your Newark police officers to cover for you as security, when in fact they were on the lookout to make sure that no other police officers came to like do a raid. I'm taking it as that. Because first of all, why do you need to hire officers to protect anything or anybody 15, 20 years ago? That crowd wasn't out 15, 20 years ago. You're talking about the crowd now, you need, you know, 235A licenses to actually do security nowadays. High-powered weapons where you can go in and you can secure the premise. Nowadays, even if you have a gun permit, they're like, we won't hire you. We need that 235A. Thanks to my good looking guy, he has one. But I tell you what, you know, it's a very sad thing. And I feel good exposing, you know, and confirming that this Newark police officer partook in such an act, because now, guys, he's going to be running scared. You know why? To protect his pension, to protect his livelihood, maybe to even protect the guy who has one nail in the coffin, who's almost out of here. Now he has to answer. We're talking about the Newark police officer. He has to answer for what that guy who has one nail in the coffin did. You know, he has to be now the voice, you know, to defend himself, to defend the guy that's now no longer around, to say, no, that's not what happened. But you're going to have a line of women who was promised a lot of different things in exchange for performing different sexual acts. Mind you, you know, this young lady had a lot to say about that Newark police officer. She said that the young lady that he had an affair with, a relationship with, I don't know how much, you know, truth is in that, because these girls are showgirls. It's business, you know, so he might have been their man in his mind. You know, that's the little mind tricks in his mind, because he's a lunatic, mind you. You got to think about it, guys. She said that the girl had pillow talk. So this girl was in his house at one time. She has photographs that she took of a drawer of magazines that she said that was in the police officer's house. And she has that as evidence to show, you know, the attorneys that she intends on hiring, that this guy was a part of this scandal of human trafficking. What the magazines have in it, guys, I have no idea, you know, but she seemed to know a lot about the officer. And guys, I also spoke to one young lady that was a part of this criminal act that was victimized at Cinderella by this Newark police officer, which she intends on coming forward. This is going to be really amazing, because you get scandal after scandal after scandal, and we just like to confirm those scandals and those criminal acts before we bring it to the forefront. But when I tell you that I've confirmed so many different things by speaking to so many different people that was around during that era, and guys, guess who else I spoke to? I spoke to the perpetrator, you know, the guy that's in the coffin with one nail in already. I spoke to his son, because I didn't even realize I knew who his son was. I spoke to his son, and his son had a lot to say as well, you know, and he wasn't so much in favoritism of what his dad was doing back then, because he saw a lot of these acts, and, you know, he said his dad was teaching him how to be a man, you know. And don't worry, don't tell your mother what happened here tonight, son, because this is all a part of your manhood. Just another shocking revelation, one after another after another. You know, it's correction officers sleeping with the whole female correctional facility. So there's a lot of things going on here, guys. I can't wait to bring this young lady on next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. We have over 11 million listeners from the East Coast to the West Coast on tonight. I'd like to thank you guys for joining me every Tuesday. Got lots of great things to talk about. See you guys next week. Tommy Torres signing off. Have a good night now. Bye.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.